Why don't we go ahead and get started? We have a couple of stragglers yet to come. Leo, we're turning now to the recommendations around definition of a business. And would you like to clarify for us exactly what it is you want us to do?
Good afternoon, everybody. Today, I'm not asking for a formal recommendation on this paper, but I would like to know your views, your comments, your suggestion on the proposed amendment of the ISB to IFRS 3 on the definition of a business. The paper is divided in two parts. The paragraph from 10 to 59 of the paper, we have reproduced the same analysis that we presented to the ISB in October. This is an analysis of the FISB proposal on how to amend the definition of a business. The ISB in October agreed with all this proposal, and so we have, now I will do a quick recap of this proposal. The ISB is proposing six things. Proposal number one is to clarify that to be considered a business, an acquired set of assets must include, at a minimum, an input and a substantive process that together contribute to the ability to create outputs. The ISB decided to provide additional guidance to help preparers in determining whether a substantive process exists. This guidance is explained in paragraph 13 to 17 of the paper. The second proposal, proposal number two, is to remove the requirement that a set of assets is a business if market participants can replace the missing elements and continue to produce outputs. Proposal three is a threshold to evaluate when a set of assets is not a business. And so, if substantially all of the fair value of the asset acquired is concentrated in a single asset or group of similar assets, then the assets acquired are not a business. Proposal number four is to narrow the definition of outputs to focus on goods and services provided to customers. Indeed, the ISB decided that the definition of output should not include returns in form of dividends, lower costs, and other economic benefits. Proposal number five is to add examples to help with the interpretation of what is a business and what is not a business. The last proposal is that the entity would be required to apply the proposed amendments prospectively. In page 17 of the paper, we ask you whether you agree that the proposed amendments to IFRS 3 would help address the issue raised to the Interpretation Committee about the definition of a business. Our analysis is summarized in paragraph 63 in the table after paragraph 63. And we also ask you whether you have any comments on the proposed amendments to IFRS 3, including the draft example in Appendix A of the paper, and our proposed edits to Case A in Appendix B of the paper. Thank you.
Carl, did you want to come in?
I agree with all the proposals. Just a bit troubled by the output definition, the new one. I'm not sure if it will be a better definition than the previous one. But I don't have a suggestion for the moment, but I have some trouble with this definition. Amendment definition.
Bruce?
Yeah, thanks. I really like these, to be honest. I mean, these definitely addressed issues that we faced in practice, a lot of them. The only one that I'd had a little bit of a concern about was Proposal 3, the fair value of the asset acquired where it's concentrated in an asset. I agree with it in principle. I guess it was just when we started trying to sit and brainstorm around the operationalizing of that, I can see a few situations where that could be a little bit tricky, so I'll be quite keen to see how that's fleshed out and how that's put into practice. As I say, I agree with the principle. I'm just concerned about the practical applicability. But other than that, I thought these proposals were timely and I think are very supportive of them.
Bruce, would you be able to perhaps give us some of those examples? I mean, offline would be fine, but just so that we can work through them and test the wording that we propose.
Sure.
I'll send them. Thanks.
Reinhardt?
I think overall my comments are very consistent with the comments that were made, that I think they will be a useful improvement to IFRS 3. I think it would be good to make sure that there weren't other issues that were raised on the definition of a business through the IFRS 3 PIR that should be wrapped into this. In terms of comments on the specific proposals, I think a couple of comments. One is in terms of proposal one, what's a substantive process and how that would be interpreted in practice, I think will create some judgment issues. And so it might be good to have, besides some of the examples, some more guidance on that. I think, like Bruce, on proposal number three, I could envisage, although as Bruce said in concept, I agree with it, I could envisage situations where the bulk of the fair value might be concentrated in assets that are not part of the primary focus of the business. So let's say you've got a startup biotech company that happens to own a building and has in-process R&D. The bulk of the fair value may be in the building itself as opposed to the IPR&D, in which case you might come to a different conclusion. I think one of the consequent effects of the amendments is that my sense is that there will be more asset acquisitions, things that were currently treated as businesses. And that will bring different issues with it. Under IFRS 3, we have some unique aspects relative to asset acquisitions compared to US GAAP that I think would be worthwhile exploring, such as the initial recognition exemption on income taxes, the implications of that on for asset acquisitions. I think there will likely or potentially be a bigger disconnect between what securities commissions think of as being acquisitions of businesses and requirements of acquired business financial statements, whereas from an IFRS perspective, they may be thought of as asset acquisitions. And so it will, although that tension exists today, that tension will be exacerbated. And then I think the outsourcing guidance, I think I'm not entirely convinced that issue has been wrestled to ground in the proposals themselves. You know, whether how do you acquire those outsourcing arrangements? Do you acquire them from the acquirer? What if it's the acquirer had those outsourcing arrangements in place, or what if they are acquired in connection with the acquisition? And so I think there's some further implications that need to be considered. So those are the larger concerns that I have, but overall I do agree that these would be a helpful improvement to reducing some of the diversity, some of the questions that we face in practice.
Okay, let's do Martin, Andrew, Charlotte, John, Tony.
I have no objections. I believe it is the paper would be extremely helpful to align a common understanding. Up today, I have generated already the impression that we see more business combinations in the U.S. than within Europe or within or for IFRS applicants. I have one issue, and it's a question. The question is it intended to align the effective dates? So, what is the formal procedure? If this philosophy would be more or less transferred to our IFRS understanding of a business, have the board discussed that or aligned the views? What is a business? I mean, this is coming from
FASB on this.
So far the FASB has held back publishing the exposure draft for the ISB to consider these issues, with the idea that the EDs are likely to go out at about the same time. So that's the informal plan. I mean, there's nothing formally agreed, but that's the informal arrangement.
No, but that was my concern. Fine, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, we were told when we discussed this way back when, despite the fact that the words were identical, that practice developed differently in the United States, and there was greater inclination to call something a business
in U.S. practice environment than it was in IFRS. Andrew?
I very much support the direction of these changes. I think they do hit on the right areas, the areas that have led to questions and inconsistency in practice. I think if you're going to try and apply the line between business and asset consistently, you need some examples that fall on both sides of the line, which we don't currently have in IFRS 3, so it's going to be really helpful. Right now, the definition does require some judgment, but with that caveat, I think the answers in the draft examples are pretty much where I think most compares would get to under IFRS, but not so in the US, so we should end up hopefully with a more harmonised application of the same words on both sides of the pond.
Charlotte?
I think we see a lot more of a significant change in the US and changing practice, and the area where we come across it is sort of leases of property and leases. I think it would be useful to know where the sort of line is for property. When does a service become, or sort of become a, what do you call it, a substantive process or sophisticated process? Because often the services to do with properties are small relative to the size of the real estate. And similarly, to know when something is a similar type asset may give rise to questions. I did have one question. It was on the case A. And I was just a bit concerned that IFRS filers were now having to separate out the sort of the in-place lease from the asset, which isn't information you need currently under IFRS, and actually isn't always readily available, because that's not how a valuation people in Europe necessarily would do it. So.
John?
Yeah, similar to others, I think the proposals are generally welcome. I do have some concerns about Proposal 3. It seems to me that if you're going to determine whether the fair value of the assets acquired is concentrated in a single asset by comparing it to the fair value of the gross assets, you're going to have to do a whole PPA to get there, which sort of seems to defeat the purpose of then saying it's an asset acquisition. And I'm not sure it's actually necessary. If you follow the other proposals, I'm not sure it's actually necessary, because I think you would get to the answer anyway. So I think Proposal 3 has some concerns about it. I think in relation to the outputs, I suppose one of the things that's not clear in redefining outputs is if I do acquire sort of inputs and a workforce, and it talks about being capable of producing outputs, you may acquire inputs and a workforce which are capable of producing something that's on the path to ultimate output, but is that going to be a business, or do they have to be capable of producing the ultimate output? So for example, if in an exploration company I acquire a whole lot of tenements and I acquire a workforce that's undertaking drilling and exploration activity, clearly that workforce is not going to be capable of ultimately producing the output, but they can actually get it to a stage where someone else will then take it on and produce output. It's not clear to me in here whether that's actually would be a business or not a business. Similar to what Charlotte said in relation to the unit of account, and this comes back probably to some of the concerns on Proposal 3, I think we're going to end up with debates about the unit of account if Proposal 3 happens, because it sort of seems to talk about some ways you cannot look at it, which is adding tangible and intangible, but can I add different types of intangibles together? And for example, in the property industry under IFRS, investment property is usually considered to be a single unit of account, including all of the leases. Are you now required to separate out the value of the leases from the value of the investment property, which is not something that would be done today? So I do think some of the, and that may be something that comes from a gap difference between currently between US GAAP and IFRS. So I don't know that we can just lift the examples from the FASB and plonk them straight into IFRS.
Tony?
Very similar. I think this is a step forward. I think it's a difficult area at the moment, and I think these proposals are a step forward. I think there is perhaps some scope, as other people have said, to refine them in a couple of areas. The couple of things that I might think of, like other folks, I think maybe they just need to think a little bit about proposal number 3. And building, in fact, on what John said, when I looked at the examples, there's one example where the in-place leases do not have a significant fair value. There's another place where it said that they do. Nothing tells me why that was the conclusion. So I think there may be some tensions around that one. The other thing that I did wonder was the in proposal number four, if it's delivering goods and services to customers, could that be internal? If I go buy a supplier that in all other respects is a business, except going forward, all of the outputs will be sold to me rather than to an external customer. Feels like a business. The same way I think the example John had feels like a business to me. You could argue that their output is delivering something that can then be developed. But so I think maybe some clarifications, but overall, I think this is a very helpful step forward. The thing that you will never do is take the judgment out of it. There's always going to have to be an element of judgment, and I think this is a helpful framework for exercising that judgment.
Gary, board member privilege.
Just to respond to Tony, when the FASB was here, just September now, I asked that direct question, thinking vertically integrated companies, they most definitely believed internal customers could be considered a source for determining if somebody's a business or not.
Which makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Sandy and then Bonnie, I think you're back on the phone, but you're just a tiny little box as opposed to a whole screen there. Sandy?
I guess as I read this, you know, as somebody who is representing a user perspective, is as I read this, it was each paragraph was followed by, and this will help preparers, but I was left with the question, what's the consequence of all of this to the users of financial statements, and are they going to get better information? Certainly, if preparers more consistently apply something, that would in theory suggest that, okay, you're going to have a more consistent application and you're going to have a better understanding. But I don't think until I was talking with Leo yesterday that I completely appreciated whether I felt like number three was going to result in more definitions as being asset acquisitions. I wasn't quite certain about one and two per se. But I've sort of still stepped back and said, well, do I want things to be an asset acquisition or do I want them to be a business combination? And sort of I haven't studied the post-implementation review document, but I was sort of like, what did users think about this and can they even tell a difference, right? I think this is a hard accounting thing for them to actually get their arms around necessarily. So I just found it challenging as I read this to know what the consequence was actually going to be. Number three, I sort of had comments similar to similar to Reinhardt and what John said, in that how does this actually tell me anything, right? Economically, it's just a sort of a calculation, but does it really tell me something is more of an asset acquisition? And I don't really see, when I look at the definition of output, I don't really see how that helps me that much. So I probably need a little more assistance with that. I don't really see that's, I guess, and someone else had made a similar comment. So I don't know. I'm just left with what's the net result? What's the net consequence in the financial statements? I think it's a little hard to see from the paper.
I'm going to ask Bonnie to come in and then Sue.
Thanks, Wayne. I am here. Hopefully, with my face a little bit smaller, you don't see me as wide on the screen. I generally agree with the proposals as written. I do agree with some of the maybe points that have been raised by some of the others in relation to issue three. So
okay.
That's about it.
Thank you, Bonnie. Sue?
Hopefully I'm not saying anything out of turn here, but I just wanted to respond specifically on the leasing, the example A that a couple of people have raised. I think the staff are planning to do some more work on that, because we know that there's a difference in business combination accounting from a lessor perspective under IFRS and US GAAP. So we specifically say in IFRS 3, I think, that if you have an operating lease and you're lessor, it has to be included in the value of the actual buildings, which is different from what my understanding of US GAAP. And so the staff were going to go away and do some analysis to work out whether that in itself should cause a difference in the way we think about it and what the consequence of that would be. So I think we already know we're going to do some follow-up work on that. She says hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, at the in Appendix B, we've got some revisions that we've made to one of the examples to reflect the differences between IFRS and US GAAP on this point. But I think some of the things that were mentioned today certainly make me think about, you know, how we've approached that and whether there's something more that we should be doing there in terms of considering the need to look at those leases. And I think somebody commented about needing to do separate valuation of leases at the moment under the proposals, whereas we wouldn't need to do that at the moment. And have we got the approach right on that point? So we'll certainly take another look at that.
I don't think you'd be allowed to do that at the moment, in effect, because we say it's combined in the value of the building.
Yeah. John?
Yeah, just one comment on the examples. I mean, I do think an example from the upstream extractive industries and one from financial services would be very useful, because we have lots of issues on this in financial services and in acquisition of upstream companies in the activities in the extractive industries.
Okay. Leo, do you have what you need?
I think yes.
Okay. Well, unless anybody has any final comments, we'll put this one to a close then.
Thank you.
Not your fastest meeting, Leo, but
no.
Close.